everybody. Welcome back to Define the Relationship. Here we are. Who are you?
I'm Ted.
I'm Dar. And we're your hosts. We've been on a unique little five-week journey with Healing Haunted Histories, a small group that's been gathering every Sunday morning and having conversations around Elaine Anz and Chad Meyer's book, Healing Haunted Histories, and exploring settler indigenous restorative solidarity, really.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't been part of the course, you need to know that the people in the course have been doing a lot of work, like their own homework and their own inner work. And so it's been more than just a study process, but very much a working group process.
It's been jam-packed.
Yeah, that is true.
I was thinking about, we've been putting poster paper up on the walls, asking different questions. And one of them on the one wall is the timeline starting in 1850, I think, to present day and into the future, actually. And just inviting people to plot what they know, kind of a crowdsourcing activity throughout the weeks of what do we know about our history, about Mennonite history, about Indigenous history, about when things happen. And so that timeline has been growing all week. And I found it kind of powerful this week when the Community Exchange hosted a viewing of The Rustic Oracle, which was a film about missing and murdered Indigenous girls and women. And so the wider community kind of came into the space to have this conversation about missing and murdered women and girls. And these things were on the walls. And at one point I just kind of felt a bit of a shiver about that history, yeah. Especially that timeline was there, yeah. In the room.
Yeah. And people were definitely paying attention to what was on the wall and be curious to know what sort of impacts they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, today I think our agenda is to talk a little bit about, we're each going to share one takeaway from our time with Elaine and Chad last week. They zoomed in from California, and we had way too short a time with them, in my opinion. But we're each going to share one takeaway, and then we want to talk a little bit about what's happening this Sunday as we have another guest coming in person. And so we want to talk a little bit about that. So
sounds like a plan.
Ted, do you want to start with what kind of impacted you the most about the conversation last week?
Yeah, I think the thing that's kind of been sticking with me that, a big part of this conversation, Indigenous settler conversation, is thinking about treaty and trying to understand the history of agreements and that were made between settlers and the people that were here. Questions of, were treaties broken? What was that all about? How are the treaties understood and stuff like that? And both Chad and Elaine, really in the process of kind of getting us an understanding of how we could move forward in these conversations, really reinforced how our tradition, our Christian tradition, has a long, ancient history of covenant making and particular understandings of what covenant is and what that looks like in the context of a relationship with God and God's people. And so there was just another reminder that there's a resource there. I guess it's a songline that we have access to, that we maybe need to spend more time kind of unearthing and restoring our understanding of it. We tend to think more like good Western, individualist human beings. And we think about contracts and agreements all the time, but we don't think about them in this sort of like doing something before God, with maybe the exception of how we see marriage. Although that understanding is not the same as it was even like a couple of decades ago. But this, that we need to think again about covenant making. And then the flip side of that was just showing how, from the indigenous perspective, they very much approached treaty as covenant making and as agreements that were to go on forever. And one couldn't simply break treaty because it was not only a treaty between peoples, but it was a treaty before God. So it's kind of an area where we have a lot to learn about our own tradition, but we also have a lot to learn from indigenous folks about how to understand even our own tradition. So there's kind of a...
I love that interplay that gets emphasized throughout the book, and Ched in particular, I remembered it from on Sunday, like just the going deeper in your own tradition actually helps. It's connected to the work with indigenous peoples.
Yeah.
It's not like a separate thing.
No, and it to me, it connects back to our conversation we had with a number of elders a few weeks ago, and the conversation was about their understanding of treaty, and they talked about the two wampum belt, which is a symbol of the treaties. Some people may be seen it, but it's kind of basically five stripes. There's three white stripes intersected by two blue stripes, I believe, and there's an understanding of two traditions coming together in agreement, but they're parallel traditions. And so there's an acknowledgement of the uniqueness and the importance of each tradition. There's not to be a sort of a convincing or proselytizing of one of the other. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've struggled a bit more in our tradition with that.
Maybe
that need to have to bring people over to our ways of thinking. And so, yeah, there's something, I don't know, there's a rich, sacred aspect that we share that we can maybe have some common ground on if we can reinvigorate it.
So is there something in particular that you envision when you think about going deeper into that tradition? Or...
Well, I think from our perspective as church leaders and as people tasked with teaching, interpreting, helping the community think about our theological anchors, it means we need to do some work. I think Ched talked about it in the class we took with him in spring, that we need to decolonize the Bible. We need to, or some people have said, unsettle the Bible. And I think we're starting to see that even in our own teaching recently, as we've been working through Matthew in the lectionary. There's a lot of new perspectives that one brings to these parables and these stories of Jesus when one comes at it from a non-colonial perspective.
A non-Western mind.
Yeah, yeah. So where we situate ourselves in the story and stuff like that. It's very challenging for us. It's challenging to teach. It's challenging to metabolize the teaching, I think, because it's just so different than the world that we live in. And yet it's at least something that's familiar to us enough that we should be able to use it as a bridge. Like, it's not like we have to learn some
what
kind
covenants
of
are.
Some new yeah. idea that isn't it. I mean, like that, I think we'll talk a bit about that today, but there are worldview differences when we come into these conversations. So Darlene, what was something that stuck out for you coming out of Sunday or the past week?
I think I'll share one story out of like a bunch of things, I guess. But in the conversation dialogue portion of our morning, we started talking about the willingness to make mistakes along the way, and missteps, I think, is a word that they use too. And I wanted to just share a little bit about, I think I was feeling very fresh a fresh experience. I was feeling kind of freshly raw about a misstep that was happening in our community, and that was really weighing on my mind. And it was a good conversation about how vulnerable this work is, how deep it is, the layers of the onion, that it involves tears. Mm-hmm. So this week, that experience that I was holding took another step, and that was the courage for a number of people to come around the table and to sit in a circle and to be led through an honest conversation about what happened and how we all felt about what happened, and the result of that, which obviously I'm not going to go into details about it, but the result of it, or even the process, was so beautiful. In that, I think it's one of the first times in my life where I've had the opportunity to sit in a circle like that and have a problem be put on the table and everyone be heard. And we're coming from different worldviews, from a settler worldview, from a and then from an Indigenous worldview, and then coming together and really respecting one another and hearing one another, and then collaborating on a solution together, which was the most amazing part.
Because we settlers love solutions.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, I think the tendency for me was I have to figure out a solution before I come to the table.
Oh yeah.
And then the big kind of surprise was we can actually work at this together. And we did. And we came up with something that then had everybody feeling better. And so I'm just really appreciative of the journey that I'm on personally, and that I feel like the opportunities for like relationship building, and that my fear was that it's done, it's screwed up, it's now gonna end. And the grace of their understanding of covenant is kind of came through.
Yeah, it's such a, I said that I was struck by the need to reinvigorate covenant, and you kind of experienced in a very, very personal microcosm of relationships, a restoration of relationship and walking through it and talking about where there were harms or there were misunderstandings and getting the truth out on the table, and then working to a collaborative, restorative movement. And sounds like a really good model. It can work, obviously.
Experiments in, like, right, these are experiments in reparation, in reconciliation, and experiments are by nature, fraught with uncertainty and some level of risk.
That sounds like a very, very cool working out of this, what we're talking about. Yeah. It's not just something we're studying. It's actually, when we talked about the four R's of restorative solidarity, and so the relationship building is such an important part of that. And once you put yourself into relationship with people, then it can get messy. You can, especially when there's worldviews clashing and there's all kinds of dynamics that we're a part of, but it's not impossible.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, let's, let's just do a little pivot thinking about what's coming up this Sunday in our last, I mean, we're saying it's our last session, but I think we're very much sensing that we're going to need at least another time to come together and maybe do some debriefing of the course and thinking about next steps or whatever, personally and collectively. So we're very pleased to have Elder David Scott, who is an elder from the Swan Lake First Nation, which from in our geography is from western Manitoba, west of the Pembina Valley, up on the escarpment. And we've asked David to come, and we want to take the relationship building part is important about it, but also part of our reschooling is having a different perspective on the past 150 years of history. Many of the people in our course are descendants of people who arrived as settlers in the 1870s, shortly after Treaty One. And David Scott's First Nation, Swan Lake First Nation, was a part. Their leadership was a part of signing Treaty One. And we want to get their perspective about how they viewed these weird Europeans who came from Ukraine, and what their perspective was, what relationship was like, or where there were obstacles to relationship. And I think, and we also want to ask him to talk a little bit about how he sees a way forward. Where does he see opportunity? What's his perspective on what needs to happen? So we're seeing this as an opportunity to be reschooled on some of the history.
Can you actually tell us a little bit about how, what's important for us in approaching the conversation this Sunday? I think we've been talking about some of our tendencies and our moves to innocence and some of the tensions that we face when we are coming together with people from other cultures or worldviews, and how do we not kind of come into the conversation getting ourselves in the way?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, I think we, whenever we listen to somebody share their reflections, their story, their perspective, I mean, it's a good idea for us to come and maybe lay aside some of our own assumptions about the way the world works and try to just enter into the world that a person who's sharing. And I think that's especially important when we're dealing with Indigenous settler conversations, because there's very much a very different, like, I think one term is talked about plausibility structures, like how people see the world, like what, you know, just how everything works is very different in different cultures. We see that better when we go to
another country,
where language is very different. And we tend to have lost our ability to see that with Indigenous people, because we've tended to think about this place as our place. And we sometimes think, well, they just need to get along with the way things work now, you know, like it's time to leave behind the old ways and step into the new world. And but that's gotten us into a lot of issues. Like, it's one of the fundamental problems with the treaties is how the different covenanters in the treaty saw what was happening. And it's quite clear that one worldview there was a supremacy of one worldview over the other, and that's had catastrophic consequences in our area for the people that were here before settlers arrived. So we want to take a posture of allowing ourselves to be open to seeing things maybe in a very different way. And some of that is like in presentation style and the way story is told. You know, we have ideas about what the best way to give a presentation is, and you know, sometimes it's a very different experience when we're sitting together with people from the Indigenous community. So I think it's just important for us to come into that sort of trying to put aside some of our our own ways of thinking and trying to get into the, you know, the posture. I mean, there's that term about, you know, like walking in somebody else's shoes. This is an opportunity for us to try to walk in somebody else's shoes and learn something along the way.
In soul care language, I would say, I would give the invitation to be aware of the things that rise up in you as you listen to somebody else. So, I mean, part of the work you say is to lay it aside, but even to be aware of what kinds of things rise up in you. So maybe it's a move to innocence that rises up in you, like be aware of like how you feel or what kind of things come up for you, positively, negatively, whatever. And then also then making a decision to join in another person's story.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job, really, this Sunday. Our job isn't to bring our own perspective. Our job isn't to, talk about ourselves, really. Our job is to join the story of another that is coming into our midst.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. And it's going to, maybe it takes a little bit of work on our part to really engage in it in a way that will help us move forward. I think one of the things that I've noticed in settings of, be they like blanket exercise settings or storytelling settings or these conversations, it's always interesting how, when I think about what rises up in me, is I am kind of, what's the word? I mean, always seems emphasized in myself how when the narrative is slightly different than I thought it was from, like, we still get caught up and there's a single story. There's a single Indigenous story. And when you get involved in these conversations, you see how, well, there's a lot of diversity in the story. And that's not a problem, because if we look around, there's a lot of diversity of story everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we don't, like, we tend to absorb that in our settings. And then these things kind of come up like this isn't going to be impossible to get anywhere because perspectives are so different. You know, what one person thinks is a way forward, another person thinks the opposite is a way forward. And so it becomes like we put that up. It's not a move to innocence, sort of a move to, well, whatever. I mean, this is impossible. I don't know if that's one of the moves to innocence, but maybe it's the move to, it's just destiny. Like, it's never going to be solved because it's just the way the way humanity works. It's impossible.
That sounds like despair.
Yeah. 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 It's a form of despair, I guess.
So yeah, it'll be good to debrief it maybe afterwards with the group.
Yeah.
But yes, let's come with that posture. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from David Scott. I think he's spoken in a number of settings with people that we know,
mm-hmm.
and they've really appreciated him. So
yeah.
I look forward to it. As Ted already mentioned, we are feeling like we'd love to have an opportunity to have a wrap-up session. So this Sunday is supposed to be our last session. So take some time to maybe think a little bit about, is that something you're open to, interested in? And maybe we can connect a little bit on Sunday about if we want to do one more session to wrap up, or what does that even mm-hmm. mean to wrap up?
Yeah, maybe we can think of a creative way to do that. Maybe we can do it.
Yeah.
Not on a Sunday morning, a little bit more relaxed timeline. And
So come with some thoughts and opinions about that. And thanks for joining us today.
Yep.
We'll see you we'll see on Sunday, you. And some of you will see you when we see you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.